Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be here. Glad to be here tonight. And I don't know if it's worked out yet. You know, we called him back in 95. I'm not sure has it worked out, 22 years. So I guess we'll find out sooner or later. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tonight. Glad to be here. It's a privilege to be in our home church. We always call this our home. Amen. And love to be here. And I'm very happy to see the same people and new people and the faithfulness of people at Ocean County Baptist Church. Stay faithful, amen? Stay faithful. Stay faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse number 10. Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Help us to open our minds and our hearts to your Word this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified in the response and in the preaching of your Word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The family in our society today is under great attack. Would you agree with me? Say amen. Amen. The family unit as God has made it in the Word of God, and we are in constant attack. I believe that families have it more difficult to live the right life, the Christian life, because there's that constant attack, not only by society, but the main enemy of the Christian, and that's the devil himself. Amen. The devil himself. The devil's trying to cause many things in the family, and one of his greatest tactics to hurt the family is division. Division. Division will destroy any family. It will destroy the church family, and in context, certainly Paul is writing to the church at Corinth here, and he's heard about division in the church. But I want to kind of take this part of Scripture, and we'll get into 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as well, and mainly apply it to the personal family, our families at home. The devil not only wants the church family to be divided, but the family at home to be divided. And that causes many, many problems. It says in verse number 11, My brethren, let's read verse number 11. It has been declared unto me of you, my brethren. So we're talking about Christians here. By them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. There's problems going on in the church there. And that's contentions is quarrels, strifes, arguments. And one of the definitions is factions within the church body. And again, I'm not here preaching about the church necessarily, but it applies division. This idea of division causing contention can apply to the church. I may really focus on the home, but that could be at the job, at the place of employment, anywhere. And it will be a disaster if we allow division to come in, quarrels, strifes, arguments, and factions. So this contention, Paul identifies, it's coming from the division. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. They're all focused on man there, and that will cause division. Matthew 12:25 says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation." You think about that. Every kingdom, every house, your home, this church, every church, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If there's division in the church house won't stand. If there's division in your house won't stand. You may exist in your house, but it's not really standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 10 of our text, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that you be that there be no divisions among you. There's a command there from Paul. There should be no divisions in the house. Amen? No divisions. And then he asks a question just to make people think, to make the church think, to make us think about division. Is Christ divided? Verse number 13. Is Christ divided? Are you of Paul and Apollos? And, you know, it's just a perfect example of division. Now, as I go through the text, we're going to turn to chapter 3 in a minute, I want you to think about this. I believe every message from the Word of God has to be personalized. You know, it's the wife hitting the husband like this, you know? Or the husband hitting the wife, or the father hitting the son. But every message should be personalized. And tonight, I want you to evaluate and identify and be honest with yourself. Because if we don't identify and we're not honest, we never can change. We can never get to where we want to get to unless we identify that there's a problem. Now, maybe tonight, when I go through this message, you'll say, wow, I'm not causing division. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing... Well, praise the Lord. That's great. Keep at it. Don't give up. But I want you to think about, am I personally, father, mother, child, husband, wife, child, husband, wife, church member, am I causing division in my home? Am I causing division in my home? The title of the message is Contentions, Conflicts, and Calamities, because that's what division causes. Conflicts, contentions, and calamities. Now I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul really continues the thought here in chapter 3. And I want you to think about, number one, what are the causes for the division? What are causes for division? And Paul gives us a couple here right in the first couple of verses. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division. Are you not carnal and walk as men? See, Paul gives some evidences or some reasons why there's division, whether it's in the church as it is here or in our own homes. Just want to mention a few from our text. We're going to go to James chapter 4 in a minute. But immaturity causes division. Immaturity causes division. In verse number 1, it says, are you not babes in Christ? You know, I can't give you the meat because you haven't digested the milk yet. And he's not talking about new Christians here. Certainly, the milk of the word is what a new Christian should be focused on, getting the basics and applying them to the life. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about believers. We're talking about ones that haven't grown just by the context of what's written there. He's talking about immature Christians, ones that have not grown spiritually in their life. And that will cause division in the home. If you're not growing as a Christian, whether you're the son or the daughter or the father or the mother, all should be growing in the Lord, maturing. When you're not mature, you react to things in a negative, sinful type way. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 4 through 14. It says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, and you have need that one teaches you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's a babe. And what he's saying here is that, you know, I want you to move on, but you're not able to move on. And you're walking like a baby, an immature Christian in the home and in the church at times. They deal with things just like a baby. I didn't get my way. Yelling and screaming, pouting, all those kind of things. You think about how a baby reacts because he's a baby. And in the home, the husband, the wife, the children, they can act the same way. Immaturity causes division. And then the next thing I see is that the carnality or the sinful flesh causes division. He asks, are you not carnal? The word carnal there is fleshly, worldly, living really in the old nature, You know, some of the songs we sang tonight about the storms of life. You know, this life is not easy, is it? It's a tough place to live. I mean, I'm glad I'm living, but it is a tough place to live. And we have storms, but a lot of times, you know, they're not caused by us, but a lot of times they're caused by our own actions, and the sinful reactions of the Christian causes great division. We behave, instead of behaving like mature Christians, spiritual Christians, we act as babes and we act as men, it says there. Walking as men, walking as the sinful man that we used to be. In Galatians chapter 5, it gives a list of the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That doesn't, he's not saying there that you're going to lose your salvation. He says, these are the things of the old man, the things that we're to put off and put on the new man. And they're not supposed to be part of our lives. And I thought of just a few of those things that, you know, we may not be the drunkard and we may not be some of these things, but I thought, you know, idolatry, personal vices, personal things that we put before God. Those are things that can cause division in the home because we're in the sinful flesh. Hatred or hostile attitudes. Variance, which is a person that's argumentative. Emulations, jealousy, and envy, wrath, uncontrolled anger. These are the things that the born-again Christian could cause a division in their home. And think about it. Is this how we are at home? Is my home a battle zone? And maybe it's because of division. God certainly doesn't want our homes to be a battle zone. It's supposed to be a safe haven. Amen? But I find that it's a struggle and there's a battle going on and the devil hates the Christian family and he hates the Christian church and he wants to cause division and a lot of times we just let him do it. Turn over to James chapter 4. I didn't want to spend this much time on this, but I'm just going to try to zip through this last part. why we cause division. Hey, it's because, hey, maybe I just haven't matured. Maybe I'm just in the flesh, letting things get to me. Then I react in the flesh. And maybe you're just selfish. In James chapter 4, I love this part of Scripture as far as identifying why are the wars, why are the battles going on? And probably it's mainly a combination of all three of these. They're very similar. It says in verse number 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence from your own lust that war in your members? You lust, you have a desire, you want something. You lust and have not, you kill. And desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You say, well, yeah, I ask. I ask God to do this. I do this. But what he means here is verse number 3. You ask and receive not. Why? because you ask amiss, because that you may consume it upon your own lust. You're asking God based on your own personal desires, your own lust, your own strong desires. And it's a matter of selfishness. Boy, in the home, if within the home, the husband and the wife and the mother and the father and the children are all acting selfish, can't you see the division that's being caused there? Only caring about self, self, self. When the characteristic of Christ is others, others, others. And we can ask and we can pray and we can ask and we can pray, but when we ask it upon our own lusts, our own desires, not caring about what God wants, not caring about what my wife needs or my son needs or my husband needs or my children need, I just want what I want. And that applies in the church too as well. It just does. So just three causes for division. There's certainly more, but immaturity, carnality, and selfishness. Think about it. Personalize it. Yeah, when we have those battles, yeah, I'm acting in the flesh, or, you know, I just want it my own way. Life isn't like that. Now, how can we prevent division? Some solutions. I like solutions, amen? I like to get the answer. I like to go, okay, that's the problem. That's the reason for the problem. But what do we do to get it fixed? How can we stop the battle zones in the home? How can we stop the divisions in the home and in the church and maybe at the job, wherever it may be? Some things from from chapter 3 here. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read just a couple of verses, chapter 3, starting in verse number 5. It says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is there, or is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Solution number one, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. Know that everyone, now we're talking about the home, talking about the church, but mainly the home, everyone has a job to do. Every individual in the home, the children have a job to do, a responsibility, I could say it that way. The husband, the father has a responsibility, and the mother and the wife, as one, have a responsibility. And that's something to keep in mind. Some plow the field, some sow the seed, some water the seed. That's the example Paul's giving here. But in the home, each of us have a job to do. In the church, each of us have a job to do. Each have different responsibilities. And to keep, you know, in the home sometimes, husbands and wives, they think like the other person should know this or do this, and maybe that's just your responsibility. And when you have that expectation of your spouse or your children, and it's really your responsibility, that's going to cause division. We have to know that, you know what, God has gifted us in different areas, and in the home, God has certainly given us the direction of a husband and wife, a mother and a father, and the children, the responsibilities they have, and they're different. And they are different. And we're to realize that. And the same thing goes in the church. You know what we're supposed to do as in the family? We're just supposed to do what we're supposed to do individually. Amen? Husbands, wives, children. Children have a responsibility as well. Honor and obey their parents. That's their main responsibility. And, you know, do we have a lot of young people? No, not too many teenagers in here tonight. We got one down here. But his responsibility is to honor and obey his parents. When that doesn't happen, strife, envy, and contention happens. Even can divide the mother and the father, the husband and the wife. Hey, the wife's responsibility is to submit to the husband, even when he's wrong. I don't mean sinful. Even though you think he's making a bad decision, God will use it as you submit with that meek and quiet spirit. That's your position. And the husband is to take the lead. We need leaders in the home. Amen? Men have dropped the ball. And the women have picked it up and had to lead the family. And the men are the leaders by God's choice. God's created us that way, and he's created the women that way. And he's instructed the parents to guide and direct their children, and the children are to obey and honor them. When we get out of position and responsibility, certainly division and contention will happen. So know, in the church, everyone has a job to do. Everyone has a job to do. And people are so gifted differently. You think about the church, so gifted differently. And they're not going to do things the same way you would do them. Secondly, we're to work together. Verse number 9, it says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're to know not only that we have a personal job to do, but we're to work together with God. Did you catch that? Isn't that wonderful? That God, we're his husbandry, we're his building. He's building the family, the church family here, but in our home families as well. He's the one building and growing the family. And we're to work together with God in that building. You have to keep that in mind. Hey, we're working with God. We're all in the same family, the family of God. This contention that we have in our families just should not be. And that causes great division. And well, I'll tell you, not to get off on a tangent, but I remember years ago when I was a 12-year-old boy, I used to babysit for my uncle. And I'd go over there and they'd go out and whatever, but there was always some problems there, and some years later, they got divorced and everything, and I remember him telling my father, his brother at the time, I was just hearing it, he was his brother all the time, at the time he was, and then too as well, but anyway, he just said, I hated to go home. He said, I drove up in the driveway, and I just sat there, I did not want to go in. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? That's the way a lot of Christian homes are as well. Not on the same page. Hey, we all have a job to do, and we're all to do it together, together. We are God's building. These are you know, the Christian life is a battle in the mind, how we think. Having the mind of Christ will help us know that, hey, we all have a job to do. We just got to do it and let God give the increase. And then we're working together with God, and we're privileged to be a partner with God, if you want to say it that way. How do you prevent division? Hey, we're in it together. We're working together. Also, in verse number 10 here, let me read a couple of verses. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Very important. Take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Number 3, as far as preventing division, make sure you're building your home with the right building material. List 6 materials there. 3 are going to be burned up at the end, and 3 are going to make it through the fire. What building material you are using to build your home will make it a strong home, or a divided home. The wrong material. Perishable, corruptible, temporal. Wood, hay, and stubble. You know what that reminds me of? It just reminds me of the carnal, a carnal investment, a temporal investment in our lives. For example, if you are building your home and your focus is on I just don't want to say making money. If that's in that type of thought process, getting things, making money, this is what's going to make us happy, you're going to have a terrible home life. It's going to be divided, and in the end, that's going to burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. It is. And that comes from a philosophy or a focus in the home. And really, if you're trying to be a Christian home, a spiritual home that glorifies God, and you have the wrong building material, you're focused on things that are so temporal that aren't going to mean anything, you're not going to have the home that God wants you to have. There's going to be division because water and oil do not mix, and wood, hay, and stubble do not mix with the spiritual life that a Christian is supposed to have in their home. It just doesn't happen. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The trouble is, many times we get the philosophy of the world and we say, hey, the houses, there's nothing wrong with having a house. The cars, nothing wrong with having a house, a car, a nice car, whatever, if you're able to do that. But that shouldn't be the focus, amen? The focus should be spiritual things, things that are going to last for eternity. That's what will build a strong home. If not, it will cause division because, like I said, you can't be a spiritual home, a Christian home that's not divided, if you're focused on worldly things. You just can't do it. It won't happen. So what is the right material? Gold, silver, precious stone. I think of words like permanent, valuable, eternal. Where do we get that type of building material? Where do we get that? Where do we get that type of philosophy that's going to last for eternity? Where do we get the focus that's going to last for eternity? Right here. Right here, from the Word of God. This is the life of the Christian right here, the Word of God. And I, not to get off on a tangent, but people aren't in the Word of God. And they're not strong, and we don't have strong families, and we're lured away by the devil and the temptations of this world, and we're constantly battered with this will make you happy. Just look at the Hollywood scene and the professional sporting scene where people are not happy. Multi millionaires, they're not happy. What they're gaining is wood, hay, and stubble. It's not going to make you happy. It's not going to make you have a strong Christian home. It's not going to make you have unity in the home. Unity is so important. So, so important. If we don't have unity in the church, God's not going to use the church. If we don't have unity in our homes, we can't be used by God the way He wants to use us, and we can't have the strong Christian home unless we have unity. We can't be going in different directions. Make sure you're using the right building material, spiritual investments versus carnal investments. What are some spiritual investments? These are characteristics of Christ. Truthfulness. Think about that. That's something that truth lasts forever. Truthfulness in the home, in the church, between one another. Thankfulness. Pastor Weigel mentioned it this morning. Having a grateful spirit, to be thankful, thankful, thankful. We serve such a great God. We should be thankful for God, but we should be thankful for one another. We have so much going against us in this world. So many. We have those three main enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil. And it's hard to beat them. And we need to be, the home needs to be unified, thankful, truthful. How about compassion and mercy? Compassion and mercy. I'll tell you, in the past 5 minutes now, the past 10 years, I've learned a lot about compassion. People struggling and just things that this life causes, to have compassion and mercy and not so much to kick the person when they're down. Because we're all going to be down one of these days. We're down. It's hard, this world. Those are precious stones. compassion and mercy. Think about your home. Is it truthful? Are you thankful? Do you have compassion for your husband? Do you have compassion for your wife? Do you have compassion and mercy for your children? Hey, that's not condoning sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the trials of life which we face. These are precious stones. These are things that will unite. These are things that will last for all eternity. Mother's Day. A day when probably most of the mothers have heard something from their children. Some thankful thing that they've... I like that video with the kids. That was funny this morning. What is your... But something thankful that they've identified in their mothers. Those are eternal things. Those are things that will last forever. Kindness and forgiveness. How fast are you to forgive in your home? Forgiveness is so important. These are characteristics of Christ. These are characteristics that'll last forever. These are characteristics that won't divide. They bond together. You will mess up sooner or later. Somebody will. In the home, in the church. Are you ready to forgive? Ready to forgive. In the home, your children. Hey, that doesn't take away the consequences. You disobey, they get the consequence. Hey, there's consequences to the adults as well. God, but He's so merciful and forgiving. Hey, sometimes you're forgiven, but you still get the consequences. But I'm glad we get forgiven. I'm glad the eraser happens and you know, true forgiveness. I know we don't forget, but we don't hold the person accountable anymore. Remember last week? What happened? You said that last week. I forgave you last week. Hey, there has to be a characteristic of forgiveness. That unites. That's eternal. Love and godliness. These are the treasures that we can lay up in heaven. What material? Evaluate your home. Is that the essence of the home, or is it the battle zone? And is the focus on, hey, we need to get this, and we need to have this, and we need to go here. And listen, I'm for all of that in the right priority. God is for that. He blesses. But that's not our focus. Not our focus. So know that we all have to build with the right material. Hey, you have to know that we're in this together on the same team. I do a lot of marriage-type counseling. And it's difficult sometimes to get the people on the same team. We're on the same team. It says brethren. That's husbands and wives too. Building on the same material. Hey, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Try to wrap this up in a second. Not only do we have to know where that we have a job to do, not only personal, we have a responsibility to God to do the job, to take the position that God has put us in, whether it's a child, a husband, a mother, a father, whatever it may be, a person in the church, whatever it may be, you have a personal responsibility to do it and let God take care of the rest. Amen? You don't have to control the outcome. We just control what we're responsible for and then know that, hey, we're on the same team. We're laborers together. And we have to focus on that right foundation. I forgot to mention that foundation. You know, if you're saved this evening, you have the right foundation. Paul identifies it. There's no other foundation but Jesus Christ. And then we're to build on that. We're spiritually born again. We're saved. And then we're to build on that foundation. Well, that's a spiritual foundation. It's a spiritual building. What's the word he uses there? The husbandry. Building, building, building. And then we're to strive for unity. If you don't strive for unity, it will fall by the wayside. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. Now, those are characteristics in verse number 2 that will help us endeavor to keep the unity. of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have to go after unity. It just doesn't happen because we're so different, and we still have the battle between the old man, the sin nature, and the new nature, the divine nature. We have that battle all the time, and if we don't strive for unity, we'll lose the battle to division. You have to strive for it. You have to go after it, endeavoring to keep the unity, going after it. Make it a focus on in your mind. In chapter 1, in verse number 10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Paul commands, hey, brethren, we have to have the same mind. You have to think alike. You know, that's where the Bible comes in. We don't get the mind of Christ unless we absorb the mind of Christ from the pages of the Bible. And we will not respond and be fitly joined together unless we're saturated with the Word of God. When you respond in the flesh, it's because we haven't got ourselves to the point where we're saturated with the Word of God and we know how to respond. Later in the chapter here, it says that you be no more tossed to and fro. I'm talking about doctrine there, I understand that, but that's the same thing. If we know the Word of God and we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God is constantly being put in our minds, then we'll respond as if we are fitly joined together. If not, we'll respond like the sinful, like those other responses I said in the beginning. The reason for division, for immaturity or sinfulness or selfishness. Brethren, same mind, same purpose, stop division. Functioning together, that's the profit of unity. Perfectly joined together, just like the body, the physical body. It's amazing when people say they don't believe there's a God and they believe in evolution. It makes me laugh. How could it be? This body that we have, is this world that we live in, just look outside. Look at yourself. These people, anyway, that's another story. You know, that same mind. You know, you figure out a problem. You think about it. And in a family, you talk about it. Isn't it nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we were of the same mind? That doesn't mean you agree with everything. That means your reasoning is based on biblical principles. Your reasoning. You ever try to reason, I'm sure you have, with an unsaved family member? Amen. Or an unsaved co-worker? It's like you're beating your head against the wall. I mean, you're like, what? I won't get into the past election, but, you know, some of those people, they say, and even today, what are they thinking? How are they thinking? Their reasoning is messed up. But that can happen in our families. If we're not saturated with the Word of God, if we're not striving for unity so that we are reasoning the same way, it's gonna hurt. We won't have the unity that we're supposed to have. It says in verse number 10, in the same judgment. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Same mind, the same judgment, that same reasoning, the same way you come up with the right conclusion. Doesn't mean you always agree with things, but you're reasoning it together. It's not a battle zone. It's not division. It's unity. Unity. So, know that you have to strive for it. And then lastly, know that you have the same goal. You have the same goal. What is the goal? What is the goal of the Christian? Go ahead, say something. Say, somebody tell me. What's the goal? The big picture goal. Glorify what? Glorify God. Is that Jim Knorr back there? First sound thing I've ever heard him say. Amen, Jim, you're growing. To glorify God. We all have the same goal. 1 Corinthians 10:31, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory, due his name. Bring glory to God in your home, in the church home. That's the big picture goal. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about bringing glory to God. No, let me read this and I'll continue. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "For whoso maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" Every good gift is from above, amen? Every good gift. We have nothing to boast about. If we can do something well, like the quartet, they have nothing to boast about. God's given them that talent. God's given the talent. Hey, whatever you can do well, it's because of God's grace and because God has allowed it. We have nothing to boast about. And really what happens is even within the family, we start an individual think more highly of himself than he should, and that causes division. But really, we have nothing to boast about. We just have to be thankful and be in the big picture thinking, I want to glorify God in my home. That's a great basis to make decisions over. Will it glorify God? How is my reaction to my spouse? How is my reaction to my parents? How is my reaction to my children? Will it glorify God? Is it causing division or is it bringing about unity? I'm telling you, the devil hates our families. And he wants to cause division. This is a foundational principle that we must have in our homes if we're going to glorify God in our homes. Foundational principle. Unity, unity, unity. Remember what causes it. Think about it. Am I causing division in my home or in my church? And then the solution, right thinking. I have a job to do. We're in it together. I need to focus on the precious stones, the gold and the silver, and building my home. These are the most important things. And then glorify God in everything you say and do. Amen? Let's have our heads bowed, eyes closed. The attack on the home, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and that just means that we have to get serious and stronger and stronger and stronger. Don't be afraid to identify a problem, because if you don't identify your part of division, you'll never, never get victory. Pastor Weigel.
My Father, I come to you, Lord. I thank you for the grace of God that is sufficient for everything that is in our life. By grace are we saved, Lord. Grace we are kept. God, through grace we can grow. And I pray, Lord, that you might extend grace to us, that we might be able to have stronger, unified families. Lord, and that because of that, the church will be stronger and unified together. And as the ultimate result, we would be able to see glory of God demonstrated, Lord. I pray that tonight, if there's someone here who's not saved, I pray they might come and receive Christ as their Savior. God, we speak to hearts. You may need to impress on folks tonight to pray for themselves, for their families, Lord. And I know there's many loved ones that are not saved. Lord, may we have a heart of grace towards them and be able to lead them to Christ and pray for them, pray them into the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray that if there's any divisions within the body of Christ, Lord, that you'd bring conviction and there'd be reconciliation offered, Lord. And I pray for sweet unity as we walk with our God together. So bless in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's